This is Dirt and Sprague.
He will not play next year, though. We would not jeopardize that now. So he don't get any hopes up that he will play. But again, we'll have some guys, and hopefully they'll have some opportunities to grow. When he gets back, that'll be cherry on top, I guess.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
Left side, off the glove of Perdomo. Hit number 2,000 of his career for Manny Machado as he continues to build on his resume towards the Hall.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
Welcome into this hot corner edition of Dirt and Sprague. Patrick Harris with you. To my left, that's Joseph Fisher III.
Let's go!
.602 in the Rose City. Shout out to the boys. I hope they're having a fantastic little vacation.
The fact that we're going to be here 13 hours from now.
Well, you are going to be here.
Wait, what?
I am leaving.
You're not doing a show tonight with me?
No, I am, but I'm going to leave and come back.
We don't have calls to make.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, I'm going to take a, you know, a 13, 12-hour break.
Commerce needs to happen, baby.
I'm going
to
go mow the lawn.
How long's your nap going to be?
Oh, at least 2 hours. At least 2 hours.
My nap or his?
His. I know. You.
I was going to go in the pregnancy nursing room or whatever that we have.
Yeah.
And lock myself in there for maybe an hour.
I'm going to go home and mow the lawn. And then I'm going to take a nap.
Ah.
And then I think, and I'm going to nap roulette.
Well, I got day-night doubleheaders all week.
Ooh.
The Hops are home this
week. Oh, baby. And I'm going to nap roulette. Like, I'm going to go down, and I'm going to wake up when I wake up.
Yeah, I'm hoping that over
You ever do that? You ever take a nap roulette?
A nap?
Oh, there are certain days.
You go take a nap, and then you don't set an alarm.
Oh, so you
just
like,
nap.
Just living on the edge here.
It could be noon. It could be 4 o'clock.
I'm just hoping that today, in the last few days, that my, what is it? Is it the circadian rhythm? Is that what it's called? That starts to adjust and I start to wake up a bit earlier because Saturday was up at like 6:30 to go play some golf. Yesterday, I was up at 6 a.m. because for some reason my fire alarm wanted to go off in my house for no damn reason at all. And then I was up at 5 a.m. this morning. So I'm hoping that this is a trend where my body starts saying, hey, you need to be up earlier. Because also, I need to take advantage of the sunlight. Daddy needs to get on the greens.
The greens ain't going to play themselves.
No.
I got back from Hawaii a couple weeks ago.
Ah, that'll do
and
it.
And I was really worried about, you know, the time change. Yeah, but then I remembered that I didn't have a job. So I didn't really care. And here I am 2 weeks later, like waking up at 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, just being an absolute waste of human life.
Well, and it doesn't help that last night I'm at the girlfriend's house. I'm laying down in bed. I'm trying to fall asleep.
Look, I'm going to derail you for a second because I do want to hear the story. But like, I can't explain to people out there, for those of us that don't do this every single day, like, praise sweet Allah and tiny baby Jesus, the boys make it every morning. It is insanely difficult to try to go to bed at 9:30 at night.
Yes.
It 100%. Is insanely difficult.
I was tired last night and I couldn't do it.
Dusty Mandalay Bay called me yesterday at 3 o'clock and was like, you should go to bed. And I was like, well, I've been drinking since noon just to make sure I'm tired enough to go to bed.
Even at 7:30, 8 p.m., your wife's like, you should go to bed.
And then there I am, lying in bed. I think I fell asleep around 11.
One too many Pliny the Elders. No, I was in bed last night around 8 p.m. I had a solid little bagel sandwich for dinner. And I was in bed at 8 p.m. And then my girlfriend on the TV throws on Love Island. And I don't know if I've ever watched a more annoying and captivating show.
we were trying to
figure out, life.
We were trying to figure out last night what we should watch because we're free agents right now. We have no show. We finished everything we've started.
You're on the Love Island of finding a new TV show.
So she looks at me and she was like, "Love Island," and I go, "Absolutely,
dude."
Not.
I'm telling you, I cannot stand anybody on this show. But I'm laying there and I hear someone like crying.
And you're like, "What are they crying about?
Like, what is going on?" Over here. I'm like, God, I'm like, you know what? Just give me the damn
Tracy
remote.
Tracy cheated on Nathaniel with Tsubadu and
And believe it or not, my girlfriend's like, do you want to put on your World War II documentaries to fall asleep? I'm like, yes.
Yes, yes, I do.
I got into 15, 20 minutes of my Dunkirk episode, and I was out like a light.
I've already seen the movie. I know it happened.
Ah, how peaceful.
Yeah. The world on fire, and yeah. I'm asleep. I did see a preview last night for a show that looks like a Desperate Housewives type show on Peacock with Carlos Boozer.
Oh, boy.
Have you seen this? It's like, yeah, it's like some Desperate Housewife meets The Bachelor, and Carlos Boozer is on it.
Boy, they're really digging for the is this, was it Real Basketball Wives or whatever?
No, it's not. It's completely something
is
else.
Is Dad not getting a piece of his twins' NIL deal going to Duke? What's going on?
I have no idea, but his hair looks great.
It does?
Yes.
I mean, we all remember the shoe polish look that he had going on for a while, right?
Who had it better, Carlos Boozer or LeBron James?
Oh, LeBron did. I mean, Carlos Boozer, is that, you can't do that.
King's Court. It's a Bravo show.
That sounds about right.
With Carlos Boozer.
That sounds about right.
Three celebrity kings, supermodel Tyson Beckford, NBA All-Star Carlos Boozer, and WWE legend Titus O'Neil attempt to find, quote, the one, a.k.a. their queen.
Well, I'll tell you what, it ain't no Love Island, okay?
And Love Island is just The Bachelorette, but on an island?
It's just a bunch of hots. A
bunch of hots.
In a house.
Realizing they all hate each other, but they all want to bone each
and
other.
And they all got to match up, and then after like 4 days, not even 4 days, after they go through a lifetime of a relationship with a person in like a week. And it is the most, again, annoying, insufferable thing, because they are having full-on couple relationship fights as if they've been together for years.
Despite the fact that I'm 5'6 and tubby, if I were good-looking and tall and in shape, I think I would be very entertaining on those shows. Because I'd just lean into it and do that and be with somebody for 20 minutes, make out once. That's the first 3 years of our relationship. Then you bone episode 4. And episode 5 is me thinking about needing a divorce or buying a Porsche.
Dude, it is the most insufferable, like, again, and I can't look away. It's it's amazing. And they are just
more.
And let's just say the average IQ level of that house is probably 42. Like, it
combined.
Is. Like, this one guy and girl are having a conversation last night, like, do you believe in evolution? He's like, well, when I go to the zoo and look at the monkeys, like,
I can't help but think, like, they kind of look like us.
They have, like, the same mannerisms. Like I sometimes think these monkeys are maybe smarter than me. They are, dude. Trust me.
I watched him peel a banana, and that's exactly how I peel a banana. I thought it was crazy.
I watched him throw his crap across the entire exhibit. That's how I do that,
too. Do you think monkeys are actually just like robots to spy on us humans? But, I mean, how'd they get there? The world is flat.
Yeah, it's... I don't know if I could suggest and or recommend and not recommend something at the same time.
Yeah, I don't think I'm going to do that.
It's almost... It's like a rage bait show. It's like a... It's a hate watch almost.
I don't think I can hate watch anymore. Like, I already hate watch enough sports, you know? Mm-hmm. You're like, I'm watching Ohio State, Michigan. I'm just like, oh, God. But I guess I got to watch this game, this 13-6 riveting game.
Well, I'll tell you what, when...
Back in the day, the Georgia or the LSU Bama 9-6, you're like, oh.
Yeah, it's like, God, I hate these
NFL talent
much.
All over the field on one side.
If you want to fill the summer hours... And you need a show. I mean, go ahead and dabble into Love Island. It'll make you feel better about yourself.
You know what? I
mean, maybe not like your physical attractiveness, but at least, you know, you'll feel smarter.
The show sure. that I watch in the summer that I don't really have to pay attention to, that is just on all the time and is usually pretty mediocre, is Major League Baseball.
It's a good show.
It's a great show. It's on all the time.
It was a great show last night.
It's on all the time. It's like 10 a.m. to 10 p.m.
I always say to my girlfriend that sports is the best show on TV. There's a new season every year.
Every year.
The drama, I mean, you can't script it.
Allegedly.
Although. Foreshadowing later. As like, there's always storylines.
Always.
All over the place. Speaking of shows, actually, this just popped up on the Twitter feed. Get your popcorn ready because Quarterback Season 2 is on Netflix starting tonight.
Who is the quarterbacks this year?
Kirk Cousins again.
Duh.
Jared Goff and Joe Burrow.
And Joe Cool, huh?
Yeah, yeah. I'm intrigued. I don't know if you watched the first season.
I did not.
The first season of that and Receiver, where it was Amon-Ra St. Brown, Deebo Samuel, George Kittle, and Devontae Adams.
Okay.
And both of those shows were awesome.
Now, my question with all those shows, which is why I tend to not watch them.
I'm not a big, like, sports. Like, sports documentaries I'll dabble in from time to time. They did these shows really well.
What I was going to say, even the documentaries, now I like them because sometimes I can reminisce, but it's always really hard to watch something that, like, you lived through.
Yeah.
You know, like, if starring Chris Evans, the story of 9/11, it's like, well, I kind of lived through that. I don't know if I need to see that again.
Well, there is definitely, like, I think that we I say we as if I'm making movies and shows, but
you are, Joe.
In Hollywood, they're always trying to, they're looking for any reason to make a new movie to see what works, what sticks. And I feel like they don't have a whole lot of like waiting time between like when something happens and when they make the show or movie or dark. Like that submarine blew up 2 years ago. Or
I was in Paris when that happened.
Blew in 2 years ago. And I'm sure Netflix was like, Let's go.
Come on.
They greenlit that as soon as that story was unfolding.
We have lost the submarine. Get it. It's gone.
Get the script going.
Let's go.
Get these interviews going.
Oakley Doakley. Well, we do have a show for you today. We're the baseball kids. So in the 7 o'clock hour, we will dive into a little bit of baseball. Daily Ticker will take us to Notre Dame, Indiana. And when we come back, the rich get richer.
Dude.
Insanely richer. Yes. This is a hot corner version of Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader, 1080 The Fan.
Have you ever been to a volcano?
616 Portland Sports Leader, don't you forget it. We are live from the shadows of the historic Fremont Bridge. Fan text line 503-864-6326. That'll let you interact with us throughout the entire show. Shout out to those on YouTube at youtube.com/1080. The fan mail sack at 8:15.
That take you a second. Shout out to the YouTube folks on, what's that website called?
Well, I forget. You know, sometimes when you do a show where people actually listen to it, you forget that there's, you know, other people out there. Mail sack at 8:15. So get your questions in via text line or YouTube. Yeah, it is fun. It is fun doing a show where people actually listen. But then people just say, "Whoa, hey, you suck. I'm tired of this."
I was going to say something about our Tuesday night programming, but I will hold back.
That great, stupid little show we do?
Yeah.
10 years, Joe. 10 years.
You think there are, honestly, I'm not even going to say, you think? I know there's people that are like, wait, there's a show on Tuesday nights?
No, you guys think about it all wrong. I was always surprised that there was actually people listening. I go back to when Isaac and I started 20 some odd years ago, and we did Baseball Today.
Nice.
After Mariner games.
Nice.
How about that?
At 10:30, 11 o'clock. This is 4 hour games
back
then.
Our very first show. Well, that we had to air the whole thing. So the whole.
It's 11-0 in the top of the sixth.
Pretty
much. It's 10:45 at night.
No, our first show. We waited under the great Alan Davis. We waited a couple of weeks into Mariners season before he kind of said, okay. So this was right after Colin.
Fine, you can do a show. Get out of my office.
No, he wanted to get me daily reps producing. He wanted to get Isaac daily reps hosting. This was after Colin first went to ESPN. So we only had one afternoon show. Colin was still the morning show at ESPN. And so he just turned us loose there. You know, at night, but our very first show, the Mariner game went 14 innings.
Now I'm just envisioning
and we came, we were like, what do we do? We're like, who are we calling? We're like, no, we've prepped all this stuff. We're all ready to go.
We're doing
fired
this.
Up. 1:15.
We're doing it live.
We went on from 1:15 to 2, but we actually got a couple of callers.
The idea of Isaac Ropp ever doing that is something I just can't.
I know you're supposed to go on at 11, Isaac, but I'm going to need you to sit there for 2 hours and 15 minutes before you go live.
A young, hungry Isaac
Rowe. We were so fired up. It was some of the best times. Best times here.
Yeah,
a little bit of the brown water in the studio, perhaps.
In the studio, but very shortly thereafter.
Just step right outside the studio.
Yeah.
Well, we've all done Oregon Ducks games that kick at 7:30.
Yeah, the 7:30 8 p.m. kicks.
8 p.m. kicks, and then you're done at 10:30. But nope. Round table.
Yeah,
and you're like, and it's 1 o'clock, and I would like to go home. Somebody who's not going home, that would be the Orlando Magic star Paolo Banchero, agreed to a 5-year, $239 million rookie extension. And first of all, good for them. Love Banchero.
Yeah, I mean, he's already lived up to the hype.
He
as
just
number
needs
one
to stay healthy.
Pick.
That's pretty much it.
I loved him coming out of Duke. Swag, I think you were there with me. I think we all knew that was the number one pick. I feel like, my memory serves me correct, not everybody was super high on him
who
being
was,
number
there
one. Holmgren went 2.
Yeah, there was Chet. Yeah, that was a Chet draft. And who went 3?
Jabari Smith Jr. Right. Yeah. And I love Jabari. Like, that was a draft. Yeah. That was a draft for a college basketball fan.
But Paolo, yeah. Paolo could do things that nobody else could do in that draft class.
I remember Blazers were like, could we get Paolo? Could he fall to 7?
No.
This is going to pay him out, what, over $75 million a year?
No.
Not quite?
It says that the most he can make
is 287.
So I think that's with,
I think that's the super max. If he gets there, if he has like an all NBA.
I was going to say the incentives.
Or an MVP or something like
that. If he gets all those incentives, it is $57.5 million. Yeah.
Woof. That is,
what is he, 23?
No, SGA has the biggest contract right now.
Yeah, I knew that. I wasn't sure how close this was to SGA.
He's 22. Can you imagine being a 22-year-old? Yeah, that's what I'd do. I'd crap myself. And making almost $60 million per year.
10 years later. Years.
No income tax in Florida.
Oh, my God.
10 years later, you're still... It's just like, I can't believe they paid me $239 million for 5 years in my early 20s.
Oops, I crap my pants. That is, as Swag said, the injuries are the one thing that, best ability is availability. And if he is able to give you 70 games next year and then another 65 after that, then you're feeling pretty good about that.
Well, and I think this goes in the positive way. I think there's a way to spin this in the negative way, in the sense that, look, with Tatum out and Dame gone and all the shuffling going on in the Eastern Conference, and will Giannis stay or leave, and like nobody really knows who's any good. People love the Magic. They love the Magic going into the playoffs last year. They were super fun to watch. Suggs has really come around. I was really worried about that, but Suggs has really come around, and that team could be poised to make a deep run. I don't know if they're a finals team quite yet, but I think this is good pressure for the Magic.
Well,
saying, you're our guy, we've locked you in. Next, they'll have to start giving some deals to some other guys, but I like the direction.
Well, right now, they have, of the Eastern Conference teams, they have the third best odds of winning the NBA title.
The Knicks are ahead of them?
The Knicks and the Cavaliers.
And the Cavaliers, yeah. Right. Why do I always forget about the Cavaliers? Is it because they limp into the playoffs?
Well, they definitely didn't limp into the playoffs this year.
They were the number one overall seed.
They were limping in the playoffs.
Yeah, maybe that's more what I meant.
Hurt in there.
Yeah. But, the Magic...
How many times I watch a big Cavs game and there's Donovan Mitchell in street clothes?
The Magic, kudos to them for finding their star. That is a team that has been foiling in mediocrity for seemingly since they lost Dwight Howard.
And before that, since they lost Shaq.
Yeah, it's one of those franchises that's just like, what are you exactly doing down there? But, shocker. How about that? Getting a number one overall pick in the NBA draft.
And hitting.
Drastically changes the outlook of your franchise.
Yeah, not to mention to grab another kid in Jalen Suggs. They also trade for Bain. They're really loading up. Bobby Marks had some really...
Franz Wagner.
Franz Wagner. Brouhaha.
Wunderbar.
Frankenstein. Bobby Marks had some interesting comments on the offseason and the Magic and how they're spending.
It's really not their norm how they've gone out this offseason and added to their roster. They've been, you know, in a good way, I guess, one of the more conservative front offices, and they've built through the draft, and they've been conservative into an extent. And certainly the Desmond Bane trade set the wheels in motion, you know, losing in the second round 2 years in a row hurt. And then the Desmond Bane trade and the Tyus Jones signing was really kind of under the radar. I kind of equate it to, I guess, what OKC did last year when they got Alex Caruso. Not a different type of player, but just a guy that can help them in the playoffs here. And then the Banchero number, 5 for $239, could increase to, I think, $287 if he hits all NBA here. It's going to get expensive in Orlando. I think next year they've got four guys making $35 million-plus.
That does terrify me with how many guys. I mean, you see that. Who is it? Oh, thinking about Miles Turner and Damian Lillard make up 50% of the cap for the Bucks.
Oh, I don't know.
Or $50 million.
I was going to say
that's $50 million. Sorry, make up $50 million. So it does get tricky. But I thought Marks was spot on in relation to OKC. This is how teams are built now. Danny Morang and I talk about this from time to time. The last couple shows I did with him talking about, you know, all leagues are copycat leagues. And this is now how it's built. You've got a couple studs you got high in the draft. I know SGA went later, but some studs you got in the draft in SGA, Chet Holmgren, Jay Will, things like that. The Magic aren't that far off with Paolo Banchero, Jalen Suggs. Again, I mentioned this earlier. I was really worried about Suggs coming in. I'm a card-carrying GU fan, so I was rooting for him. Probably was too young coming into the NBA, but he started to kind of figure that out. And that's how teams are being built. I would argue Cleveland is kind of built the same way of depth, team, and getting right positional guys. I like how he said he's not like Alex Caruso, but he fits the mold and adds to the team the way Caruso did for the Thunder.
Yeah, but to his point, you've got a lot of money wrapped up between four dudes starting next year, because that's when Paolo's contract kicks in.
But your four dudes start.
And
give you considerable minutes and points.
The question is this team going to be able to take another leap? And getting Desmond Bane definitely helps with this team's scoring and defensive ability. But you have about 89, I'm trying to do quick math, and that's a dangerous prospect. A little bit, actually, like 82% of your cap is in Franz Wagner, Paolo Banchero, Desmond Bane, Desmond Bane, Jalen Suggs. That is your core. That is your four dudes that you have locked up all the way, at least all four of them until 28, 29. Is that going to be able to yield you a championship? What just scares me, and you can't really live life this way, but the dudes that have gotten huge contracts and are blowing Achilles and having some really career-altering injuries, that's what just makes me nervous about investing in a team like this that, as Swag said, Paolo, he needs to stay healthy. Franz, he needs to stay healthy as well.
And I also think spending that kind of money does have a ceiling. You know, we talk about kind of back in the day how nobody wants to do this anymore. You know, locally, the Allen Crabbe and Evan Turner type deals. Dude, there are still plenty of guys in the NBA that are getting terrible deals like that. And that's not going to stop. So when you start evaluating guys and you start paying guys, you have to be very, very confident. Now, paying Paolo Banchero feels good. You know, I feel paying SGA feels good. It's those kind of smaller, not ancillary, but the lesser star dudes. You got to make sure you hit on that, because you can't be paying an Allen Crabbe, you know, $30 million a year.
Yeah, 91.7% of their cap is going to those four players next year. So, I mean, they're definitely going to be going over it next
year. Yeah, it's like every team wants to make sure they have a guy they pay more than $30 million. But what separates the good teams and the bad teams are the bad teams sign somebody who's garbage for $35 million because they can't afford to lose it because they'll be even worse. But they're not that good with him.
Yeah, it's just seeing these numbers.
100 mil, it's on the way.
And I'd love to try and prospect when.
I mean, LeBron makes 52 a year. But, you know, and he's an old man.
Well, and just seeing that Devin Booker extension the other day.
Yeah.
I mean, that one
I mean,
was...
even James Harden, I think, is kind of washed, and he makes 60 mil.
It is absolutely insane.
Ah, man, and they yell at me that baseball contracts are out of control. All right, maybe contracts are how things get rigged. Is that how we rig it in the NBA? Just make sure the right guys get the right deals. A lot of issues in the WNBA going on right now. How can we change the narrative that things are rigged, or are they actually rigged? We'll do that next. Coming up in the 7 o'clock hour, we are baseball boys, so we'll get to a little bit of baseball. Plus, the Daily Ticker will take us to South Bend, Indiana. 8:15, the mail sacks. We'll get those questions in. 503-864-6326 or the YouTube channel. This is so funny, Joe. I have this kind of like mental list in my head, and we do this on the Hot Corner on Tuesday nights from 7 to 9, where there are kind of like topics we don't love to discuss. Like, there's no reason to really get into steroids. You know, we're not going to change anybody's mind. Our minds aren't going to change. Before all this new information on Pete Rose came out, it was like, we don't need to talk about Pete Rose. There's no new information that's going to change your opinion.
Oh, talking about steroids. I thought you said getting into steroids. I was like, whoa, how about that for a radio bit?
Well, hey, don't.
In the middle of a cycle right now.
Join us at 7:30 as Joe tries anabolic steroids.
Just trying to hit it 310 off the tee.
Joe, you're getting really angry during the show all of a sudden.
And I think this is one of those, but it's kind of caught a breaking point in the WNBA. And I mean this kind of, we'll use the WNBA as an example, but I kind of mean it across all sports. Because you hear it in the NFL a lot, you hear it in the NBA a lot, especially with Cooper Flagg going to the Mavericks. Angel Reese came out and was one of a list of many, many people affiliated in the WNBA, kind of talking about the alleged rigging of the sport and how it plays to officials. Her most recent comments, it's tough when you talk to officials and I ask them, hey, we've only been to the free throw line twice up until the fourth quarter. And she tells me it's not her job. So it's frustrating because I know how hard we are battling inside. And I think that we came down and fought as hard as we could with what we had. And I just know we continue to grow on this. And she keeps going and says, I don't give a damn if I get fined because this S is cheap. And I'm tired of this S because I've been nice and I've been humble with it, but I'm tired of this S.
One little blurb. I think it was before she said that. She says, I think this is a leaping step for us, and obviously we know we can compete with the best, but the officiating has to be fixed.
And wow. It is one thing to kind of be like, you know, hey, officials are kind of brutal, you know, I mean, I think you mentioned it, we're always quick to blame somebody else when we don't get what we want, but it seems, you know, it seems like a continuation of a massive problem. Kelsey Plum of the Los Angeles Sparks said this the other day. She said, I drive more than anyone in the league, so to shoot 6 free throws is effing absurd. I got scratches on my face, I got scratches on my body, and these guards on the other team get these ticky-tack fouls, and I'm sick of it. I don't know what I need to do. I've talked to the refs nice. I pray before the game, like, F, I'm over it. I like anybody that says I pray and then drops an F-bomb. I love that. That's awesome character right there. So my question is not whether or not the WNBA is rigged, but if you're in a situation like this for the WNBA, or you're in a situation like the NFL where everybody's like, of course the Chiefs are in the Super Bowl again, how do you go about changing that narrative? How do you go about fixing that image? Or is it just something you're going to have to live with?
Buddy, I don't know if you paid attention to...
I did not. Brand new.
The political First climate over the last...
Oh, damn it, Joe.
Yeah.
Bringing reason into this, huh?
Everything is rigged. Regardless of what side you are on, I mean...
There's no list and it was suicide? Is that what you're talking about?
Oh, what are you talking about? Nothing to see here.
Nothing to see here.
Got 2 minutes on the camera that are not there.
Tariffs.
Don't worry about it. Dude, this is... It's one of my biggest pet peeves in sports. Like, so you're thinking, like, billionaires are getting in a room, like, before the season once a week. And they're like, all right, so what are we doing? What's the script for this week, guys?
You know, I had a pre-draft interview with Jane Daniels, I like that kid. Let's get Let's get the Commanders to the NFC title game.
And also, like,
Yays?
Let's increase the value of your asset and decrease the value of mine. Like, I don't think billionaires are exactly 100% down
Jerry,
for that.
We want the Cowboys to suck more. Would you hire Brian Schottenheimer? Oh, yeah, yeah, it's not my turn yet. Yeah. You got it, guys.
You keep my Cowboys out of your mouth, okay? Don't you? Y'all don't say that.
But I mean, that's what it is. And, you know, everybody wants to say, well, Tim Donaghy, like that. You know, okay, all right, whatever. There's always going to be some sort of example you can make. But maybe that's just the reality. It's like, just get over yourself and have some faith that these billionaires are not rigging it. I'll tell you what's not rigged, and that's Major League Baseball.
Well,
that's not rigged. I don't think the NFL is rigged. Hockey sure as hell isn't rigged, even though the Panthers have decided they found the formula to just sign all your guys on the cheap and live in Florida tax-free.
Well, and listen, the NBA, they had a gambling scandal with a referee.
Yeah.
So I get...
And we're still seeing players getting popped left and right in different sports.
But the idea to me that it's just like, hey, guys, I think it's Kansas City's turn to be the next best NFL franchise.
You and know what? Let's not even make them...
32 NFL owners like, we all in agreement on that?
Let's not even make them the next best franchise. Let's let them have a dynasty. You know who hasn't been good in a while? Golden State. Let's make them a dynasty.
And as far as like the...
I hate Drew Bledsoe. Let's make the Patriots a dynasty with Tom Brady.
The WNBA stuff... You know, I do not watch the WNBA. I casually catch the highlights on SportsCenter where I'm just chilling around.
But we were talking with Swag, and the refereeing has been atrocious.
This is the increased attention. Usually stuff comes when there is increased attention from people that do not follow a particular sport or team on a regular basis. And they're like, wait, something does not compute here. You're hearing it from coaches. You're hearing it from players on all teams. They're trying to expand. The WNBA is trying to seize the opportunity that's been presented to them. But as everything, you know, is getting more scrutiny, the officiating will come with it. And it's not about being rigged or not. And I think you're going to continue to see this, coaches and players, when they won't let up and they don't care about the consequences coming from the league in terms of fines or suspensions or backlash or whatever. It's so bad that I can't hold my tongue anymore. And it's across the board.
What does the future of this look like? I'd like to stick with this for a little bit in across all sports and not just the WNBA, because the WNBA has problems. But is there an actual solution, or are we just stuck
Robo-umps.
With it? Robo umps.
I can't wait.
more here on the Hot Corner Edition of Dirt and Sprague.
Charging foul.
1080 The Fan. Another reminder, we'll have the mail sack at 815-503-864-6326. You know, that's one of the cool things about filling in on these shows is you get to do everybody's benchmarks.
Yeah, and also you get to S-talk their baseball team, because I know that my Orioles swept the Braves over the 4th of July weekend. And this comes after Brandon Sprague made a very disparaging comment about my Baltimore Orioles. And I
Brandon
will not have
Sprague talking trash.
Yeah, I was like, "What the hell is this, bud?" I've been rooting for your team this year. I've been hoping that they.
I've picked your team to win the World Series like 5 out of the last 7 years.
Well, I try to warn you about that this year.
Hey, I was right once.
No, you weren't.
Yeah, in 2021.
Oh, his team.
His team.
Oh, I was gonna say
your team.
I was like the Orioles.
No, I've never picked your team.
You took them to win the division this year. I'm pretty sure.
I did.
Yeah. Well, I took the Yankees to win the division.
I also took Cleveland to win the division too.
I did too. Yeah. I swear.
And the Mariners.
I swear. We host a baseball show.
And don't listen to my fantasy advice.
I think right now, if it were a season were to finish, I think we would be 0-3 on our divisional winner.
Correcto mundo. But I love doing other people's benchmarks. They're fun. Mail sack is a good one. I used to really like doing the hot 5 at 5, RIP to that. In the news is fun. Dabbled in a little worse day on the web. What else? There's also something from this show that I used to love.
There's Statter Story.
Or Statter Story tomorrow.
Statter Story
is
great.
Fish is going to get to do that tomorrow.
Am I?
Are you?
I don't know.
Oh.
I guess you'll have to tune in.
Tune in and find out.
We'll wrestle with
that. I know. I was supposed to do tomorrow with you, but preschool, she had some car troubles.
Who?
She's dead. My wife.
Oh. She can't take the Ranger?
The Ranger. I don't own the Ranger.
Oh, that's right. You sold your Ranger.
I sold it. I sold it to my stepdad.
Shame on you.
I drove it the other day, though. I drove it on the 4th of July.
Well, then
I forgot to grab some claws out of the fridge for the wife. And so I had to run to the store, and my uncle was in town. I was like, yo, you, me, let's ride.
Yeah.
And I took the old pickup through the old neighborhood I grew up in, up to the Safeway.
Good little nostalgia.
A little nostalgia.
Yeah.
Still can't drive a stick, even though I've been driving that since 2005.
What? Wait, that thing's a manual?
Yeah.
And you didn't, what do you mean?
No, I just was real rusty at it.
I'm going to say just stalling out at intersections for 15 years.
No, Dad's. No, did not kill the car. But like a couple times you're like,
come on now.
Got it.
Come on, Messi.
But we were kind of continuing this conversation about how to change the narrative. Swag mentioned it in the break, and I think a lot of it is just that. It's consistency. Is you need to see things called the way they are, quote unquote, supposed to be called. What I'm curious about, when you've got Kelsey Plume and Angel Reese coming out and bagging on the refs, is there not superstar treatment in the WNBA? I'm with Joe. I don't watch the league that much. Do they not give superstar treatment like the NBA?
No. Well, the other thing is you still only have 13 teams in the WNBA, so the concentration of talent.
How do they have an odd number of teams?
Well, they had the Valkyries.
Well, they had the Valkyries expand this year. Portland and Toronto next year. And then there's three more up in the Northeast.
Carry the two.
There'll be 18, I think, in 4 years, four or 5 years.
Square root of pi.
So, but they don't give superstar treatment because it's just not big enough. They're not there yet. You would think in a time right now when you're growing and the attendance is bigger than it's ever been.
The level of athleticism, the level of competition, the level of physicality in women's basketball has increased exponentially in the last decade or so.
And the refs can't keep up?
And the officiating has not adjusted to it to figure out what it is and how to consistently and properly officiate it.
Well, that's an issue. Reminds me of that Kathy Bates line in The Office. You got two people doing the same job? We're going to have to fix that.
Yeah, I just, what also kills me is the one person in the WNBA who seems to get mauled and absolutely just physically manhandled on a seemingly night-to-night basis when she's healthy. Caitlin Clark, I don't know if I've ever seen her say anything about, oh, this is ridiculous. The refs need to do a better
job.
Like,
well, let's be real. Caitlin's got a little LeBron James in her in the sense of, like, she toes the line really carefully. Like, LeBron, don't ask LeBron about China. Things like that, you know. She knows that what she says is heard and is repeated and stuff like that. So she is going to be very, very careful about what she says.
Angel Reese.
And she just lets...
Angel Reese has to know that too.
But Angel Reese is the Charles Barkley, Charles Oakley bad girl of the league. And so I think although what she says has a very, very valid point, if that is in fact the case, she's painted out to be a bad guy. So it just sounds like she's bitching when reality is she might have something to say. But that's her role in that league. So if you're the WNBA, maybe this is why you don't care if there's these allegations. You want this bad boy person persona to continue, right? To give dichotomy
to
the
league? You don't want the integrity of the officiating to come into
question. Agreed, which is why she'll get fined for it. The WNBA has to like when she's on the podium bitching about something.
No, not this.
Maybe not this, but they
now,
want her to be the bad
one. If there's
one.
Drama and beef and that, you know, between teams or rivalries or whatever, that's all fun and you can work with that. Not this.
I will say that, you know,
she's about the 10th on the list of people that in post-game interviews have reamed the officials this season.
Well, and who was the other day fighting with the fever? It was Indiana and a couple of the girls, they were getting into a brouhaha. And it was like, I was like, hey, dude, if this is...
It was the Mercury, but don't quote me on that.
I was like, if this is WNBA...
this is the future.
If I'm getting 80s NBA out of the WNBA
now... The natural progression of the WNBA just follows suit of the NBA.
Sign me
up. That it's like, there were some really great players in the 70s, you know, like the Lisa Leslies and the Rebecca Lobos. But to get, you know, and then in the 80s, we had, you know, Diana Taurasi and Magic Johnson. And then now we're in the 90s, and now everybody's got to destroy each other before we get the Kobe Bryant of the generation. That'd be great. I'd watch that. Sign me up for that.
Well, I love the physicality that I've been seeing out of WNBA, where that gives me some intrigue in it. And Swag said before the show, like, the level of physicality in just women's basketball, girls basketball, like, I even see it at the youth level. Sometimes I'm watching, like,
It's all copycat.
Well, I'll go to...
Remember ISO when it hit the little leagues?
Well, I'll go to my son's basketball game, and we're at a tournament, and we're waiting for the court to open up, so mm-hmm. we catch the last bit of whatever game's ahead of it, and sometimes it's a girls' game. I'm like... Are you guys watching this? Because you do not do any of this. Like, you guys, like, they are just going after it.
Well,
just
I don't
super physical play.
And I don't think we watch sports for delicate finesse. There are certain sports that are delicate and finesse. Like, we're watching Wimbledon right now. That's got some finesse to it. But I think games like basketball, we don't love too much finesse. We want some physicality. Like, these playoffs were so good. These playoffs were excellent. And a lot of that had to do with it was physical. And if the WNBA wants to grow, that might be a best spot for it to go.
Can I read the WNBA commissioner's?
I love it when you read.
It's still Val Ackerman.
It's Kathy Engelbert.
Or Kathy Engelbert. Okay.
Yeah. Now, this was, I think, before the Angel Reese comments, but this is still around the discussion of, you know, scuffles and referees and all that. And she said in a June 27th article, there's always room for growth and improvement in officiating. I do find it interesting when you sit in the chair I sit in that no winning team ever complains about officiating. No losing team ever doesn't complain about officiating.
And that's true. If things don't go our way, we just bitch about it.
Yeah. Like, have you ever heard...
You mentioned politics is the same in that.
Yeah, have you ever heard a team...
It's the same at parenting.
...win by, like, 30 in the NFL and be like, I thought the officials did a garbage
job. You know, we
job.
Really had to overcome all those garbage pass interference calls. Holding on every play? They're lucky we didn't win by 60.
Yeah, so, and then she does the whole, you know, I acknowledge these individuals are human, they miss things.
It's a very difficult they job, do I do training. Not envy the things.
Honestly, I like her saying, like, I find it kind of interesting that winning teams don't say anything, and the losing teams seem to be the ones that are bitching and moaning, but, you know, I digress.
Maybe that's a problem with all of us. All right, coming up in the second hour, the 7 o'clock hour, we'll dive into a little bit of baseball, plus the Daily Ticker takes us to South Bend, Indiana. This is a Hot Corner edition of Dirt and Sprague, Portland sports leader, 1080 The Fan.